check this baby out.
The planet has a fever.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hello.
Oh, no, they're
back. Testing.
No, yeah, no. Oh, yes.
1, 2, 1, 2.
Gigi, actually, I play Chiana on Farscape, and I'm the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shot Challenge, and you're listening to Two Downies Dudes.
Julian, what's a shithawk? Some kind of a shitty bird that swoops down and puts poop onto you.
I'm Eric.
I'm Robbie. And this is episode number 85 for December 5th, 2015. This is a special Thanksgiving episode where we give some listener shout-outs, a segment of Go Black Bears, Dale and Larry tell the story of Thanksgiving, we talk about what we're grateful for, and do a couple food reviews.
Dude! So did you get your fill? And I don't mean like your butthole. I mean like your food fill. You fill up on some good foods?
A little bit of both.
Oh yeah, that's how your Thanksgiving went down.
I
had
a double header Thanksgiving.
You did.
Yep. So
you had to go to two places.
Two places.
Or you're talking sex and food?
Well, that too.
Oh okay.
Yeah. No, I got my fair share of turkey. Mashed potatoes, butthole bread, gravy.
Butthole bread.
Yeah, I love the butthole bread.
Butthole and neck bread. Do they stuff both sides of the bird? Does your family stuff? Because we stuff both sides. We stuff the asshole, then we flip it around, and we stuff the neck.
Oh, you DP that son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. She's getting DP'd bad.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
No, actually, neither of the places I ate, we did the neck.
Oh.
It was just butthole bread.
Well, we do the butthole, the neck. And then when it's done and we pull the turkey out and we set it up on the oven, what we do then is Audrey will do a stuffing bukkake on me where she just shovels fucking stuffing all over my face.
Ooh.
And it just runs down, you know.
Oh, that's hot.
I slobber it up.
Oh, I like that. Damn.
Yeah, that's gross. You love turkey food?
I do.
Don't you think we should, like, why Thanksgiving? Why can't we have a fucking meal like that 3, 4, 5 times a year?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Big ass turkey, stuffing, all the trimmings.
Right. Well, you kind of get to on Christmas, or you're supposed to on Christmas.
Yeah,
too.
We don't. A lot of people. We do a ham. No turkey, ham.
Oh,
Christmas is a ham. Christmas ham.
Right.
I think that's pretty much the rule.
Yeah.
The law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you really put some thought in that.
I know. I'm really thinking deep on that one. No, we usually just do turkey because, I don't know, my mom doesn't really like ham anyway. I think we've done ham, but we do turkey a lot of the time. So it's like, boom, back to back, double turkey.
Yeah, that's
holidays.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
with that. I love a turkey dinner, man.
You know what I like? I like, especially because we're in Maine, I like fucking cranberry sauce. And I'm not talking the fucking can of gelatin.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
homemade
real cranberries and some sugar and whatever the hell else you put in there. My mom makes awesome cranberry sauce. Oh, you're shaking your head.
I don't like any of it.
Makes that noise when you
I don't like any of it. Yeah.
No, you don't like any cranberry
sauce. The kids love the jelly. They don't want the real stuff. They want the jelly, the canned gelatin, which literally takes the exact shape of the can and it comes out.
Yeah, how is that appetizing?
It's not, but I'm not a fan of cranberry sauce, jelly, period. Like, I don't like any of it. Homemade, canned, doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm not a fan. I like cranberry juice, but that's as far as my cranberry appetite goes.
Huh. All right.
I know, being a Mainer.
Right. You know, there's a pretty clever photo that I saw going around on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this one or not, but it said, "This Thanksgiving, make sure that your cranberries are dolphin safe."
Yes,
and it was a little picture of a dolphin jumping out of a cranberry bog.
Every year, thousands of dolphin cranberry bogs are harmed.
Yeah,
cranberry bog dolphins.
I was waiting for some of those fucking blowhard retard friends that we have to just post like, "Oh, I can't believe this. Millions of dolphins are being killed for us to have cranberry sauce every year."
Yeah.
But, so Thanksgiving was good. I ate tons of food.
Of course.
That was nice.
Did you watch football?
Yeah, there was football playing. I wouldn't necessarily say I watched football, but there was football on.
In the vicinity of where you were mowing down and drinking your douche coffee, there was football.
Right. In the background. You know,
so somebody was watching football.
Somebody, yeah. Sarah's grandfather, who's freaking hilarious. He's just full of all these little one-liners, and I love sitting next to him because he makes all these little like comments that nobody else notices or hears. But so there's a football game on, and everybody's getting like fired up about it and doing their like commentary and all that. And he just leans over me, goes, "You know, why don't they give each one of them a football and they wouldn't argue so much?" It's like, that is a goddamn good point. Give them each a football and they won't have to fight over it.
It's a bunch of grown men fighting like, over a toy.
Yeah, problem solved.
Oh, shit.
So after Thanksgiving was African-American Friday.
It was.
Be racially sensitive.
It was. Yeah, speaking of racial sensitivity, I had an incident Sunday, the following Sunday from Black Friday, African-American Friday.
Thank you.
TJ Maxx didn't partake. TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and whatever their other subsidiary fucking store is. I don't know what it is. One we don't have around here. But, you know, they're all the same. They're all the same company. They just different names for their right. outlets. Well, TJ Maxx did not partake in Black Friday deals. Period. Their advertising was that they give you such great deals all the time anyway, so fuck you.
Get the fuck
out. Right. So Sunday, me and the wife went into TJ Maxx. She was going to pick up something for one of the girls she works with. And there was an African-American man standing behind the counter. He made a comment about doing some shopping, discount shopping or sales shopping. And I said, without really putting a lot of thought into it, because again, I'm not a racist person, so it's not like, you know, you don't think about it. But then I said, oh, what is this, Black Sunday? And then that was before I even looked at the guy. And then I looked at the guy, and he was African-American. And I kind of, for a moment, was like, uh-oh. But then he laughed, and he was like, yeah, exactly. He liked it. He actually kept yelling it to a few other customers as they walked in. Either that or he was mocking me. I'm not sure which, but either way.
Condescending. Right? Oh, yeah, Black Sunday here, everybody. Look, everybody, Black Sunday. This guy over here, Black Sunday. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that could have been what was going on. Yeah. I'm not sure, but I did. I thought about it for a moment. After the fact, I thought, wow, I wonder if I shouldn't have said that. But then I was like, yeah, fuck it, who cares? And I went on to, you know, look at gadgets and whatnot. But so, yeah, Black Friday.
Yeah.
And you partook? No, you didn't.
No, I didn't partake.
But don't. No. Don't. No. Because you were going to. But the people that were going with you backed out at the last minute.
Oh, yeah, I got blown off.
Right. So you play it off like, well, I wouldn't ever fucking do that shit. No, you just didn't have anybody to go with you.
True.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't have any money, so. I know. I was supposed to meet Jen and Shayna, and they both fucking bailed on me. Jen was like, oh, the deals aren't that great this year. And Shayna, I don't know, was comfortable at home, didn't feel like leaving the house, and said right. there wasn't really anything that was that interesting to her to leave
and
the house at
nobody really wants to hang out with you. So
that's basically what it comes down to. Yeah, right. They probably went and just didn't tell me, like, don't tell Rob, let's just meet there. Tell him we're not going this year. So, yeah, fuck you guys. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny that you mentioned TJ Maxx doesn't do anything because they're one of the two places in Ellsworth where Black Friday would be relevant.
Right. Yeah.
The other one being Walmart. And that's what Jen was saying, is that she looked at the flyer and that the deals really weren't that good this year anyway.
Right. So what's the point? Yeah. They really weren't. And if you weren't going to Bangor, then you really weren't going to get shit anyways.
Right. The thing is, like, it's a marketing ploy, and the idea is to get people out of their houses. And I think the problem is it worked, and it became such a big thing. You know, it started out just on Friday. Then it became, you know, Friday, well, midnight.
Right.
You know, Thursday night after Thanksgiving, everybody goes out yeah. and waits till it strikes midnight when they can legally open the store.
In this state. Other states, they actually open up Thanksgiving evening. So, like, right around supper time, they're opening. But only in Maine. Maine's one of the, they're called blue laws, and only certain states have them. You don't know any of this?
No.
Okay, well, that's what it's called. It's called a blue law. So, and Maine is one of the states that has blue laws, which means that on a holiday, like a national holiday, like Thanksgiving, like Christmas, or any of those, they are legally not allowed to be opened until the following day.
Right.
Which is why around here it's the midnight rush.
Gotcha.
But can you imagine in other states where they open at, say, 6, 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving Day? Like, in New York City, if they're doing that, like, I don't know if they are, but you'd have to miss Thanksgiving to go wait in line to make sure you were going to get in one of these fucking stores.
Yeah.
That seems kind of fucked up.
It is. And like I said, it had the desired effect. They're getting people's asses out in the stores and shopping on that night. And once they've done that, and now that it's become such a big thing, I think the deals aren't as good, because it's like, we know everybody's going to fucking come out. Everybody's going to stand in line anticipating deals.
Right.
So we could probably drop, you know, or raise the prices a little bit more. And
well, they said something. Well, this is kind of a whatever, but it's all about Black Monday? Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Right. Yeah. Black Monday, Black Friday, Black whatever. They said that history. Yeah, exactly. They said that the best deals you were going to find was on jewelry on Cyber Monday.
Really?
Yeah, jewelry was going to have the biggest markdown, which makes sense because jewelry has the highest markup.
So, oh, yeah, jewelry markup is like 300%.
Exactly. So it's easy to knock fucking 75% off of jewelry that's already marked up 300%.
Yeah.
So.
And that's legit, too. Like, that's not really even an exaggeration, because I've gone into K Jewelers, someplace like that before, and the second you go through the door, they're rushing you.
Right.
And it's so hyperinflated because they start going, well, okay, here's a flyer. Today we've got a 75% off deal, and then there's an additional 50% off on all rings. Then anything with white gold is another 70% off.
Right.
And then if your name starts with a J, R, S, or N,
and then
you get another 75%
off. But if your last name begins with a W and you stand on your head in the corner and shit wooden nickels, you get another fucking 73% off.
Yeah, exactly. And then you add it all up and it's like, wait a second, you're going to pay me like $600 for this ring? Is that what, like when you start doing the math, like, wait a second, I can just walk out with everything in here and you're going to give me 10 grand. Like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. No, I don't partake. The wife does. She loves it. She loves it. Loves it. Thinks it's, she loves it. She loves the shop, and it's like marathon shopping. So if there was a sport she could partake in, it would be marathon shopping. So to her, Black Friday is like a fucking a competition or an athletic event or something.
Yeah.
So she loves it. I played video games and fell asleep.
Yeah. I did have fun with it last year because, you know, I went to Walmart with Jen and Shayna. I wasn't really buying anything, so they just had me run off and go get tickets, because that's what it's become now. You're not actually shopping. You're like standing in line to get tickets to redeem to get the things you want.
Yeah.
So they just had me go run around and collect tickets, and that was kind of cool. You know, I saw a bunch of people I knew.
Right. And it's junk. I mean, just put it out there. The shit sell on Black Friday is junk.
Yeah.
Like, they specifically design and engineer things for that day, for that deal.
Right.
So you're getting what you pay for. You're not getting the best TV there was on the market, and they just, you know, marked it down to $120. Like, nope, they made that TV. They're putting it out on Black Friday. We bought my kid a 32-inch TV a couple of years ago on a Black Friday, and it fucking shit out a year later. It just stopped working.
Yeah, you're right. It's just complete shit that's manufactured for that one purpose.
Yeah.
And the next year, everybody's out buying the same exact things. You know, are you really saving that much money when you're buying a new fucking TV every year?
Right. No, not really. Yeah, I mean, and that's it. Like, how many fucking TVs do you need? I mean, do you really have to upgrade every year? So, it is gimmicky. It's very gimmicky.
Yeah, I don't buy into it. Don't tell Sarah that, because she gets hardcore. Her and her friend make fucking spreadsheets and map it all out.
Oh, yeah.
And she was out from, let's see, she left at like 10 o'clock at night to go get in line for the first round.
That sounds about right.
And then she got home 4 or 5 the next day.
Weakling.
Yeah, 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Oh, in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're talking PM, not AM.
So that was all night. Yeah, that was all night and then all day.
Oh, okay, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Because my wife was home at 7:30 the next morning.
Right.
But we also don't live in Bangor, you know, so, and Sarah does.
Yeah,
so it's a hop, skip, and a jump for her.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, 10 minutes and she's in bed, and it's an hour ride for us, so.
Right.
You have to take that into consideration, but.
Yeah, so aside from that, I wanted to give some shout-outs. I'm going to do a little Go Black Bears in a minute here, but I got to say first that I ran into somebody at the hockey game that is a listener of the podcast.
Ah.
So we're going to do our regular shout-outs to people that don't really want to be shouted out.
Right.
But we love all the attention we can get. So shout-out to Paul for listening. Yeah, ran into him at a hockey game, and, you know, he was somebody that I'd done some work for before at the office he works at. He was like, oh, hey, you know, went to give you a call to have you come do some work, and they said you weren't there anymore. So he's like, but, you know, I get my Robbie Phil because I listen to the podcast. I was like, nice. Oh, no shit. So that was kind of cool. We've also got another.
Eric's filling you a little too, so just, you know, put that out there.
I do get my, yeah, I get my fill from Eric. We've got another new listener. Amy Lawrence has started to binge listen to the podcast.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, she's doing like a Breaking Bad kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She just dove in. She's actually, I guess she was upset that she could only listen back so far, so she wants an invite.
Jesus.
To the archive.
Oh, you don't want to hear any of that.
No, no. Some of the drunk. Early stuff was pretty rough. So we're gonna get her that. You know, typically we like for people to donate money.
Yeah. Well, she does donate. She does.
She donates her husband to us.
She does donate her
once
husband.
Every couple of weeks. She lends Jeremy out to us, and
then we fill Jeremy
all kinds
up.
Of shit to him and send him back.
We
do. Funny.
We fuck him all
Why
up and send him home.
Why is this podcast getting so sexual?
I don't know.
I guess
it's
really
my fault.
Always is.
It's my fault. I keep doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexual tension between us anyway. So, yeah, speaking of Jeremy, he actually, I get a bone to pick with Jeremy, and maybe he'll get mad for me doing this and calling him out on the podcast, but he is the worst when it comes to contact.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, the reason I bring up Amy wanting to listen to the old episodes is because he texted me. Well, he mentioned it in person first, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, we can get you the archive so she can listen to them all. So then he texted me to remind me the other day and said, you know, hey, how do I find the link to listen to those old podcasts?
Right.
I said, yeah, just give me an email. Nothing again for like a week.
Yeah.
And that's how it is with Jeremy. He'll text you and be like, hey, what are you doing this Saturday? Be like, oh, I got nothing going on. Why? Nothing for weeks. Just that's it.
Like, he leaves you in anticipation for a week.
I was bad at contacting people and not responding to people. But, like, if he was a chick that I was trying to bang, he'd be like the chick that you just really can't get a read on. Like, you think, like, they give you a little, and then it's like, I don't know, is she really into me? Like, she's not responding now. Like, what should I worry? What's going on here?
He's a player.
But then, like, just when you're ready to give up faith, he'll text you, and it's like, oh, cool.
No, he still is. He is into me. Wow. Hit him up, Jeremy. Jesus yeah. Christ, just respond to you. You got to have your cell phone on you, right? Like, just respond,
yeah.
Man.
Hit me back. Yeah, he's commenting on
you know, it's funny.
Facebook
he did it to me, actually, a while ago. He texted me while I was driving down the road, and I got a text message from him that said, texting while driving, which I might have been. I'm not sure. I wasn't. Of course I wasn't.
Right.
So when I pulled over to the gas station to text him back and said, no, of course not. What, did you just drive by me? I don't think he ever responded to that.
No, he won't.
So, right. It's like, yeah. I don't know, is he watching me or does he have video cameras in my fucking truck? I mean, what's going on here? He's really into me.
Yeah, definitely. Clearly. So, I guess on that note, thanks for the listener feedback. That's not really listener feedback. It's just us saying that we know people listen to the podcast
because
we're needy.
Right.
In related news, we've kind of been inconsistent, people may have noticed, on getting the podcast recorded,
edited. I suppose we should apologize for that.
Posted, sure. Sorry?
Sorry.
So genuine.
Yeah.
So we've kind of decided I'm working in Bangor now and staying there most of the time.
And I'm lazy.
Eric's lazy and hibernates during the winter.
Right.
So it
we're
becomes,
calling it quits.
Yeah, we're done. Now, it becomes a little difficult in the wintertime to make it happen. Not to mention the fact that it just seems like we're fucking beating a dead horse sometimes and struggling to come up with topics and saying the same shit every week. I'm fucking tired of hearing you week after week. I'm
tired of hearing you.
So I think we're going to cut it back to every other week. And that way we can be more consistent. Focus on quality over quantity.
Right. That's true. I think that's important.
It is.
And I need my fallout time.
That's basically what this comes down to. So we're going to focus more on the prep time. We're going to get back to sort of the old format of having more segments and sound bites, having a bit more structured podcast and planned out a little better.
We'll kind of let this thing get off the rails a little bit.
Yep. So
that's mostly your fault.
Mostly my fault. So back to basics, podcast every other week, but it's going to be a good one and it should be on time.
Yes, hopefully.
Hopefully-ish.
Yeah, ish.
And then there's a possibility, too, of two other Down East dudes that are interested in doing a podcast. So we may alternate with those guys. We won't give any spoilers right now.
Right, but it's in the air.
Right.
It's up in the air. It's up somewhere. It's on the floor, up second floor.
Speaking of second floor, my mic boom is shaking. What is going on down there?
Oh.
Pleasantly plump ladies doing yoga.
It is yoga night. Wednesday nights down below. For anybody who doesn't know, Robbie lives above a bunch of offices.
Right.
And Wednesday night, one of the office spaces is used for yogurt.
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 So yeah, we're like shaking right now.
Yeah, the floor has been rattling around for, it's like an earthquake going on in here.
Kind of is. Yeah. I kind of want to go see what's going on down there.
I don't know if you want to see that.
Yeah, I'd be like panda bears wrestling.
That's fucked up.
I don't know.
Is that because there's a lot of black and white, or is it the bit?
I
it
was just thinking like small rotund things rolling around on the floor. Oh. Like, okay. That's fucking awful.
Yeah, you're horrible.
I'm sure they're all pleasant and in great shape.
So, anyways.
Yeah, every other week, and the possibility of two other Down East dudes filling in every other week for us. So we may be back to a weekly podcast, but it'll just be two different guys, similar format, doing some comedy bits.
Maybe funnier.
Talking. Maybe probably funnier than
probably.
Us.
Probably.
Doesn't take much.
No. So you might actually, you might want to stay tuned for this because it could be good, or it could never happen.
Yeah,
so.
It might get better, or it might not happen.
Right.
There's also the possibility that we may get back on the every week thing once winter's over and
school's
over for me.
I find some motivation.
Yeah, you come back out of hibernation.
Right.
And the roads aren't so shitty. So yeah, thank the Department of Transportation for that.
Right.
Now speaking of just positivity and gratitude and being thankful,
because it is Thanksgiving.
Yes. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we are going to give a little list of things that we are thankful for.
All right. So we both came up with a list of five things that we are grateful for.
Yes.
That we are thankful for.
Absolutely.
Right.
First thing that I am thankful for is that Route 1 is in such tip-top shape going into the winter. So my commute is so pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like driving on a railroad track or anything.
Not at all.
Yeah. This year, I have found that I am incredibly thankful for your punctuality.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very
that
punctual.
You're always on time, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for.
Yeah.
I am also thankful that you don't hibernate in the winter and that you're always willing to come out and do things and record a podcast with me every week.
Right. I am thankful this year that it's the 1st of December and it's fucking 50-something degrees. I am incredibly thankful for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am thankful that you didn't puss out and shave your beard.
That's fucked
Glad
up.
Glad you didn't do that.
Well, on that note, I am thankful that I shaved my beard.
At least we're in agreement with that. I am grateful that the city of Ellsworth spent millions of dollars to put in a beautiful park just before winter with a nice fucking urn in the middle of it.
Yeah, that is beautiful. I am incredibly grateful and becoming more and more so every day that I live with an 18-year-old that is a complete total clean freak.
Oh, he definitely is. Mm. Spick and span.
Yeah.
I am grateful for ISIS.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's great. Well, my fifth and final thing on my gratitude list is that I am thoroughly thankful, grateful, and find it to be awesome that we live in a country where Donald Trump could potentially become president.
Very thankful for that. Thank you, Trump.
Yeah.
One last thing that I am grateful for and thankful for as well is that the Maine black bears are having such a phenomenal season.
Oh. So, have you been watching?
Go Black Bears! This segment's brought to you by George Hale and Rick Tyler.
Yeah.
They approve.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well, I've been attending some games, and
Did you get your season tickets?
I did not renew my season tickets.
You didn't?
I did not.
Wow.
Yeah. Last year, it got pretty bad, pretty depressing, because, as we've talked about, the roads are fucking horrible.
Right.
So to drive up there every weekend after you spend a significant amount of money on season tickets, to drive up, you know, Friday and Saturday night on the weekends, spend the gas money, then they started charging for parking. So unless you want to park a mile away, you got to pay $10 to park.
Fuck that, dude.
Exactly. After you spend, you know, well, a pair of season tickets, let's just say, are around $700.
Fucking, that's bullshit. And then you got to pay to park?
Yeah.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, so I decided again. Well, Travis and I decided against it. Our producer, Travis Harriman, decided not to renew our season tickets this year because it's one thing when they're winning, and I hate to be a bandwagon sports fan, but I'm a broke sports fan. So,
right.
You know, if I just had the disposable income, I'd say, oh, yeah, I'll just keep the seats. You know, they're good seats.
Because you're a fan.
Yeah,
you are a fan.
I am. But I don't like to fucking spend that kind of money to watch a team lose every game.
Yeah.
Which is what it got to be last year. And this year didn't look all that much more promising.
But?
But.
I feel like there's a but there.
There is a but there. There's a big but. They started off.
And you
rough.
Like it?
It's a nice ass.
You cannot lie.
It's a nice hairy black bear ass. Yeah, they started off rough. They were like 0-8-3.
Okay.
Until they hit a winning streak, and that's 0 wins, 8 losses, 3 ties.
I see.
Until I think it started with Vermont. They had some back-to-back wins. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah, 2 back-to-back wins and good solid wins, including 2 goals like 12 seconds apart. They were both shorthanded goals. You know, that kind of stuff is exciting.
Right.
To see a team playing well like that.
Well, when anybody scores in hockey, it's fucking exciting because it only happens like twice a game. So
right.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and especially for it to happen when they're shorthanded, you know, that's a 5-on-4 to the other team's advantage. And Maine scores a goal, and they did that twice within 12 seconds.
When you said shorthanded, I wasn't even gonna, because I don't want to seem like I know
nothing. You
thought
nothing. That like one of the hockey players had like a little hand. Well, he's doing a slap shot with his little mini shorthand.
I thought it was some kind of a special kind of shot, and I was just gonna go with that. But you're saying they had less players,
correct?
Was somebody benched or sick or injured or?
Yeah, one guy called in sick. He had a cold. There was a penalty against Maine.
Okay.
So they had one guy sitting in the penalty box for 2 minutes, and Maine managed to score a couple goals. So that type of stuff's exciting.
Right.
Their goalie that they have playing right now, Matt Morris, has been doing a phenomenal job. So that makes it exciting. Eric's yawning, for those that didn't hear
I've been yawning the entire time, so it's not, this isn't anything new.
That makes me feel so
fucking
much
tired. I'm tired. It's not you, I'm tired.
I know. That's always what she says.
I work for a living. So unlike most people in this room, I work for a living.
That's right. So yeah, Maine hockey's picking up.
Good.
They played Princeton, which is always exciting to see a team like Maine beat a school like Princeton.
It's an Ivy League school.
It is.
I'm guessing they have an Ivy League team.
Yeah, I'd say Yale is probably the hockey powerhouse when it comes to Ivy League schools. Princeton's not really known for hockey, but it's still cool. It's still like...
What the rowing sport? Maybe they're more known for...
Crew.
Crew. Is that what it's called? Crew.
Polo. Yeah, probably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what I always think of douchey people when I think of Ivy League schools. Right. Yale, Princeton, Harvard.
Oh, and come to think of it, of course that makes sense. It's fucking Princeton. I've got a story attached to this that's fucking amazing. So I was at the... Princeton game with Sarah the first night. It was Friday night. And her seats are right down on the ice. That's the other part of the reason that I didn't renew my season tickets.
Because she has them.
Tickets available to go to some games. So, yeah. So I still get to go to some games. So her seats are right down on the ice. So we're sitting there, and the players skate by, right? Like, pretty close, right? Yeah. By the glass. So they're skating by, a player skates by, you know, kind of in a line. They're skating by. All of a sudden, one player skates by, and she just points and hollers out, "Asian!" Then instantly covers her mouth and starts, like, looking around. It was a knee-jerk reaction.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Jesus Christ.
Her defense, he was Asian. I mean, her statement was accurate.
Yeah.
But it just,
I don't know if she needed to point it out.
It was totally unexpected for her to see the Asian player to the point where she had to holler it out and announce it to everyone else. So the entire row behind us just starts fucking dying laughing. So I just turn around and say, nothing gets by her. And then she turns around and, like, tries to make a defense. She's like, it's okay, my best friend's Asian.
Oh, my God, really? Wow. Yeah, come on. Seriously. That you're digging a hole at that point.
Yeah, I was like, hon, it's not like bingo. Like, you don't win a prize for being the first person to, like, holler it out and point at the Asian guy. Asian!
Mexican! Yeah.
Actually, Maine has a Hispanic player this year.
Yeah.
By the name of Perez. And
that's okay.
Maine has a... That is okay. Maine has a black player as well.
Black hockey player?
Yeah.
Okay, now that's fucking weird.
Now we're getting far-fetched.
Seriously, come on, a black hockey player?
Actually, I know one other black hockey player that's I believe a rarity. Is a listener of this podcast.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But that is a rarity. I mean, that ain't racist, right? That's just kind of a rarity.
It's just a statistic thing.
Like,
just like a good white basketball player.
Right.
Not so common since Larry Bird.
Exactly. 110 years ago.
Right. So
not that we're racist.
No. Wow. Just made a good case there with that awkward silence. But no, the black player on the main hockey team, men's hockey team, is Malcolm Hayes, and I think he's 6'2" or 6'3" maybe.
Is that good in hockey? I mean, is that good? Is size good in hockey, or is smaller better? Because I've always pictured hockey players, well, as kind of like fellas like myself, little short, hairy Frenchmen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Little French Canadians. That's what I picture when I picture hockey players. I mean, again, I stereotype, but...
Yeah, it depends. Depends on the position and what you're looking for in the player. It's good to have a mix, you know. There's a player on the main team, Cam Brown, that's just this tiny, short little guy. But he's quick as hell.
Right, fast. He can weave in and out. That's what I'm thinking. Hockey is a... It's a high intensity sport. It's a fast sport.
Right.
It's not. There's nothing slow about it. I've been with you. You can't even keep your eye on the fucking puck. You have no idea where it is until the lights go off and you think, oh, somebody scored somewhere.
Right.
But it's not a slow moving game. So you want people that can maneuver quickly, and big guys tend to not be able to maneuver as fast, hence their size and weight and.
Right. However. You've got the
but they got stopping
defensemen,
power.
Right. and checking is obviously checking. Irrelevant.
Jesus, can
thing.
You imagine getting checked by a guy that's 6'3", 2 something,
220?
Fucking
yeah, And that's the thing is with Malcolm Hayes is he's a fucking big kid. And mind you that, you know, he's still got like 3 years of eligibility, you know, luckily. So he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
But he's out for this season. He had a shoulder surgery. Uh-huh. So that's unfortunate because he started last year and he is just like a fucking brick wall. I mean, he hits hard and just knocks players way down the ice.
So he's a defensive player.
He is. He's a defenseman. Some of his, you know, some of his skills could be developed a little bit better.
Well, you said he's a young player, so.
You know, stick handling and all that could be a bit better and probably need to be developed. But, you know, I think a lot of the time they're using him as a missile right now, you know, or they had been last season. They just send him out on the ice to hit certain players and play real physical.
You got to imagine any college sport has got to be tough. It's like high school sports. You know, your coaches, think of what they have to go through every single fucking year. They lose their best players.
Right.
They lose their seasoned veterans every year. Yeah. Every year. And so they have to start basically from scratch and take these young guys, these freshmen, and build them up. And then as soon as they're awesome and good and at their peak physical condition and the best fucking hockey players they can be, they graduate and they're
move
gone.
On.
Right.
Well, and the really good ones, what makes it even more challenging, the really good ones end up leaving a year early because
they get drafted. Exactly.
So you've got, you know, your first year where you're kind of orienting them, figuring out what their strengths and weaknesses are.
I suppose this is why colleges draft as well, basically. It's not called a draft, but it's basically what they do. They go out drafting.
Yeah.
So looking for the best high school players they can find to recruit.
It's a challenge. You know, they're a little bit more developed, but yeah, it's kind of somewhere in between. I mean, obviously it's in between high school and professional sports, but
right.
You know, as far as the skill set and the stuff that you're dealing with, it's I'm sure it's not easy. So yeah, well, that's where Maine hockey's at. They're on a 4-win streak right now.
Right now.
Yep.
And so you're stoked.
I am stoked. And Malcolm Hayes, so like stoked. I said, so stoked on hockey. Malcolm Hayes is going to be out for the rest of the season, which is unfortunate. He's got like a 6-month recovery on his shoulder. But I'm looking forward to seeing him come back strong and get developed as a player because I don't think I've ever seen anybody hit like he does. So if they, you know, develop his skills, he'll be pretty phenomenal because he doesn't budge either. When you see other players go to check him, you'll see guys way bigger than him. You know, they kind of dwarf him, and they'll go up against him and just bounce off.
He's mountain.
He's solid on his skates, and so that's what's up with Maine hockey.
Good.
You know, a little bit better news than the last time.
I'm going to be honest with you. There are so many girls out there that listen to this podcast that when they hear you talking sports, it's the moistening.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, hey, he sports is... So, I know, and I like to fucking sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you do when it comes to hockey.
Somewhat. I'm kind of a casual fan, and I've really only been following it for like 5-6 years now, so I can't go on.
I've never followed it.
The history of fucking Bruins players in the 1940s or 50s or whatever.
Well, you're not George Hale, so nobody's expecting that.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, put your teeth in when you do your sports, George.
And clean up the corners of your mouth, for Christ's sake.
Oh, I know. You get the little drool thing going, the little fucking swing.
White fuzz.
The little...
It's like foam. He's foaming in the
He can't help it.
I know. He's like 100. Old. Getting old.
He's like 300.
That happened fucking 30 years ago. He was getting old. Jesus Christ. I'm pretty sure George Hale died 10 years ago, and they just keep propping him up in front of a fucking camera.
Yeah, it's like Weekend at Bernie's.
It is. And his earlobes. The motherfucker. Oh, Jesus Christ. Anyways.
Big time. Yeah. All right, well, I think next on the agenda, we get some more Thanksgiving goodness, since it is, you know, fucking a week and a half after Thanksgiving.
It's
now.
A week.
We're so timely.
Not even a solid week.
Tomorrow will be a week. So by the time this comes out,
it'll be a week and a half. That's true.
We should be talking about Christmas, but
that's
fuck
true.
It.
Yeah.
That'll
be after Christmas.
Of course, like a week or two after. Yeah, so we've got Dale and Larry coming to talk about the story of Thanksgiving.
We do.
At least in their eyes, and they're a little confused on some of the details, I think, but you'll get the gist of it.
I think so.
This is Dale down Millbridge.
Larry from Lubeck.
And this is the story of Thanksgiving. This is how it happened.
1792, Christopher Washington sailed over here from Europe. In a nice boat, though, not a fishing boat.
He's one of them Hinckley Morris yachts.
He came over here with a bunch of his buddies because the tea in Europe was friggin' junk. He was tired of the king pinching out every tea bag.
Yeah, frig-grade up, that tea was.
When they came over here, they started setting up a nice little village and growing some decent stuff. But then he ran into the Indians, and they started friggin' with him and his colonial buddies. At first, he thought they was the terrorist ones, but they wasn't the terrorist ones.
Right.
They was different ones.
Feather, not dot.
So the Indians...
Casino, not 7-Eleven.
Started throwing rocks at him and his stern men, giving him polo and shit.
Yeah, the disease, not the shirt.
Right. Then one night, they all got hammered.
On twisted tees.
And one of Christopher Washington's buddies, Joseph Smith...
Is he Donnie Smith down in Franklin's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather?
I don't think so, but he banged this chick, Sacagawea, and she gave him smallpox on his pecker. So then it was on. The old boys decided to wipe out some of the Indians. Yeah,
Geronimo, not the Bin Labens.
So they thinned out the herd a bit, and the rest of them, they gave casinos so they had a place to hang out, play cards, and slot machines and stuff. Probably like old wooden slot machines that gave you corn or something when you win.
I think that was, wasn't that that Foxwoods down there in Connecticut?
Probably, I think that was the first one.
Yeah.
But after that, everybody was pretty thankful that they could grow all the good tea and tobacco and stuff and hang out, play slot machines. So they all sat down together and had a nice dinner.
Yep, and that's the first Thanksgiving. So, that was Dale and Larry's story of Thanksgiving. I think they were in the ballpark.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
It was pretty accurate. Yeah. So I think now, since you keep yawning,
yes,
and seem so I'm tired,
very tired, yes.
I'll give you a chance to take a nap.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, it's great. Oh, God.
Sounds orgasmic. It does sound like you're having an orgasm when you, during your food review
sometimes
intro.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
Sometimes my taste buds orgasm.
Do they?
It's like an orgasm in my mouth. No, wait. Wait a second. I take that back. Never had an orgasm
Jesus
in my mouth.
Christ. Wow.
That's called a cum shot.
Yeah, I think that's the money shot.
Dear God.
So you got some food review, and I'm guessing it's not what we were just discussing.
No.
Or is it?
Well, no.
This week, Bangor prostitutes, why they don't taste as good as Ellsworth ones.
Oh, it's true. I should compare them. Yeah. This week, Sarah and I ate at Serendib, which is the new Indian.
Oh, yeah, dot, not feather.
Correct.
Yeah.
Restaurant down on Water Street where 86 this used to be.
Feather Indian restaurant. I think it's just corn in it. Just do a lot of corn.
That's wow. Whoa. You never see a Native American restaurant.
No.
You see every other ethnicity, every other.
That's because we stole
group.
Their food.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What are they going to, like, they're going to claim it, like, meat, potatoes, corn,
yeah,
fucking turkey.
Right. That is American food. We're like, yeah, we're fucking taking
deer.
Us. Damn.
Yeah.
Bison.
Anyways,
yeah.
Let's not go down that road.
Wow. I never really thought about that. You never see a Native American restaurant. I'm going to open one up.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm 1/320 Mohawk.
Oh, there you go, Mohawk.
Yeah, Mohawk.
I think you just made up a tribe.
Oh, that was the thing, right? Mohawk.
Wow.
Yeah, so we ate at Serendib. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Indian restaurant.
Doesn't sound right, but okay.
It's Serendib.
Okay.
Not that.
But go ahead and say it the way I think it's supposed to be said.
I don't know. You see,
Jeremy,
tell me.
Jeremy, call in and give us, like, you need to call in for next week's podcast and let us
know. Oh, yeah. Serendib, you motherfuckers.
Exactly.
I can hear him. Yeah, whatever that character's name.
Sanjay,
yes.
How could you forget Sanjay?
I know, Sanjay.
Anyways, you ate at the new, where is this place? In Ellsworth.
It's down on Water Street. I just said that, man. Were you napping already?
I think I dozed off.
It's where 86ers used to be.
Oh, right on the corner there.
You were so tuned out.
Yeah. So there's an Indian restaurant in Ellsworth.
It's Indian Sri Lankan.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah.
So how do you think that's going to fare out?
They've been doing pretty well so far.
Well, of course they have. It's a new restaurant. How long have they been open?
I don't know. Maybe about a month.
Okay.
A month and a half.
You know, Fuddruckers did really good so far. After a month, maybe. And then everybody had finally gone there and realized it sucked and stopped going.
Right. Well, here's the difference, though. Fuddruckers is a chain. Fuddruckers it's a chain.
No, but what I'm saying, but even a chain can do really good now. Anything can do really good in Ellsworth. Any restaurant. The minute the doors open, the place is fucking jammed.
Because it's new.
Right. Because we love new things. I don't know if it's a... I think it's a Down East thing. It really is. We love new... Like, new stuff. Let's go check out the new stuff.
Right.
And then we do. But I'm thinking Indian food in Down East, Maine?
Well...
I can't do
it. Here's the thing, though. It will sustain because it's kind of a pretentious thing, which I don't know why. Everything is, like, flipped in reverse now, and all the things that are pretentious are actually really poor, like, third world countries, like, food from horrible places you would never want to go are now pretentious.
Right.
It's, like, cool to go, oh, like, you eat it with your hands, and most of the chicken's not cooked, and there's feces in it. Like, I love this kind of food. Like... That's what the pretentious wealthy poop people eat now.
Wealthy poop?
Wealthy poop, yes. And then they have, wealthy poop for days.
Oh, my God, that's disgusting.
So I think for that reason it probably will do well because when we went in there, it was packed. Every time I've driven by or looked in there, it's been packed. And it's full of people that I don't know and I've never seen before in my life, but they're all dressed very nice. So I'm thinking they're all the people that...
Pretentious.
You know, are the fromaways that stay here year-round.
Those are called... fromaways, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I was going to correct you, but then you were correct.
You corrected me with the same term.
Wow.
Yeah, those aren't fromaways. Those are called fromaways. Yeah, thank you.
I'm tired. But, so you think it's going to do well then? And you liked it?
I did, and here's the thing. Is I've been against trying Indian food. It freaks me out.
Yeah, because it's scary.
It is, because everything is one color.
Right.
And you can't identify any of the ingredients, which freaks me out because, yes, I'm a foodie, but I'm a little particular about things, and I like to be able to identify what exactly I'm eating. I like my... condiments, my sauces, my pasta, meat.
Right.
I like things to be kind
ketchup.
Of separated, and I can mix them if I want, but I like to have that choice.
Right.
Whereas Indian, it's like, no, you just get this pile of stuff, and it looks like a pile of vomit, but it's supposed to be
delicious. Really?
And most Indian food does. It's like there's the red mush or the yellow mush. Like that's what you eat with Indian
food.
Wow,
that seems fucked up to me.
But... It is fucking phenomenal.
Are these real dot, not feather Indians?
Yes, actually.
So this is authentic.
This is very authentic.
Are they speaking like Punjabi?
Sure. Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. I think I did. I don't know. I might have just made that up.
It could be. Very authentic. I know the Ellsworth American... did an article about it, about the chef. And I've spoken to a few people that have talked to him and that know him. Actually, his name is Sanjeeva.
Come on.
Sanjeeva.
Sanjay.
Sanjay, yeah.
It's fucking Sanjay. Because everybody in India is named Sanjay.
It's legit.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
That's just like a play on the word Sanjay.
A woman's name. I don't know. I'm not going to read the whole article and figure out.
So that's not him? That's somebody
else. It is. Okay, that is Sanjeeva, Sanjay, I guess.
Wait, what?
It's Sanjeeva, which is the abbreviation of that, Sanjay. Is that what
it is?
Okay.
I don't know. Are you asking me? Don't ask me. How the fuck do I fucking know?
All right, sure. So what I can tell you is that he's one of the nicest fucking guys in the world.
Of course.
And granted, I only met him briefly, because the weird thing about it is, the one criticism I have of the place, and they just opened, so I'm sure they'll iron out the kinks, kind of like when Flexit first opened.
Uh-huh.
You know, there were a few kinks to work out, but the design and layout is a little weird. They definitely have a ways to go. Some of, like, the outlets were hanging off the wall, like junction boxes and stuff. Or not hanging off the wall, but they were exposed and not framed in.
Wires sparking.
Yes. Flames shooting out of the wall. But just, it didn't look very
finished.
They wanted
to give you that full Indian experience.
Yes, like you're really in a third world country. Right. No, I think it's going to shape up to be nice. They've just got some finish work to do inside. And it's weird because I knew that when you have a sit-down dining place in the state of Maine, you're obligated to have a public bathroom. You have to.
Right.
So I knew there had to be a bathroom, but you're sitting in there, and it's just such a small space.
Well, yeah.
I was like, well, where's
They don't have a lot to work with in that place.
Right. So it's kind of a disadvantage and an advantage at the same time, that the bathroom is actually all the way back through the kitchen. You have to walk through the kitchen, which is very narrow, very small.
Really?
So you have to, like, turn sideways to walk past
Sanjay
to squeeze by him, which is cool because you get to watch what he's doing. You get to watch him cook. And he was not irritated whatsoever. He didn't look inconvenienced that, like, you have to walk past him to get to the bathroom.
Right.
Or irritated that you're, like, in his space, in his kitchen. You know, I'm sure some chefs get all fucking uptight about that. He smiled and said hi, you know, welcomed me. Like, pointed to the bathroom, and so, yeah, that, you know, that was actually kind of cool. It's a weird layout, but,
well,
you know, they,
again,
okay.
Not a lot to work with in that space. That's a tiny fucking little, what they need to do is kick out the Hancock County Democrats and expand next door.
They've actually been gone for a while.
Oh, have they?
Yep.
Oh, well, good, then expand. Knock that fucking wall out. That's where Riverside used to be. That's where it started years ago.
Right.
I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
You do. Because that's where it got its name, Riverside. Yeah. Even though it's way the fuck up here on Main Street now, nowhere near the river. But yeah, that building used to be that whole two spaces.
Yeah.
That was a nice big space.
And that's the word, you know, I was talking to somebody that kind of had a little inside scoop, and he told me that was the plan, is that if he's successful there, he's going to expand into that other space. Then he'd have a more readily available bathroom and all that. But I think he's starting out with low overhead, a small space, which is cool because it feels intimate and it feels exclusive. It feels like you're in kind of a unique little place. You know, it doesn't have a generic feel, that's for sure.
Right. Elbow to elbow.
It's pretty small.
Yeah, so you feel like you're in India.
Yeah.
You're getting the full-fledged experience.
Yeah.
Wall to wall people, like, no room to breathe or move.
Yeah, it was like
an outlet hanging off the wall.
It was like Slumdog Millionaire, but with delicious food.
Uh-huh. So it was good.
It was fucking amazing. I was not expecting.
Did you have the red or the yellow slop?
I had the yellow slop. And
is it really just like mush?
Is there
anything
really
identifiable
mush
in it? Can you look at it and be like, oh, well, that's made up of this, 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 and this?
You really can't.
Well, that's terrible.
I know it's tough.
How do you
I
cook that?
To...
What is that? What does that consist of? You boil something, you take a potato masher, mash it up, throw some butter in it, and that's it. It's done.
Well, there was chicken in it. What I had chicken in it. Because I ordered it.
You think there was?
But had they brought it to me, I wouldn't have been able to really identify until taking some bites.
So you couldn't see chicken in your dish.
I saw cubes of
something
of yellow in the yellow sauce, because everything just takes the color of that sauce.
Wow.
But that sauce contains all sorts of crazy spices and herbs and stuff you're not expecting.
Well, Indian food's very spicy, right? I mean, isn't that the gist with Indian food? It's very spicy.
It is, yeah, which they give you the option there of mild, medium, or hot. So I was like, oh, I'll go for hot. I like hot stuff. She's like,
right.
If you want hot, order the medium. That's American hot.
Right.
She's like,
because there is a difference.
Is like Indian hot.
Yes.
And she said, if this is your first time having Indian food, I want you to enjoy your experience. So please just do
what I tell you.
Medium.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she's already fucking had three or four real Down Easters running out of that place with flames shooting out of their mouth.
Yeah.
We don't know. Right.
I put Frank's on everything.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know hot. Like, they know hot in other places. I've heard the same thing about Mexican. like we talk about, like, you know, Mexican hot sauce or something around here, but like out in California, that shit will put you in cardiac arrest.
Yeah,
you know,
fucking ghost peppers, exactly, and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah.
So we it's don't not we jalapeno. Don't know.
Hot. We think jalapeno is hot.
Well, I can tell you honestly, and I appreciate your food review, even though you don't believe I do, but I won't be eating that red or yellow slaw.
I know. I figured.
Yeah. Because you know I don't. I mean, anybody who knows me knows I do not eat out of the box. Well, no, I eat out of boxes. I eat out of, yeah, you actually eat out a lot of boxes.
Yes, if it's frozen, if it's like Banquet or Boston Market.
Then I'm good to go.
You're good, yeah.
But
outside of the box.
Right. Yeah, I don't eat outside of the box. Exactly. I don't eat outside of the box. I stay in the motherfucking box.
Yeah.
The box is good. The box is trustworthy, and I know where the box has been.
Do you know where the box has been, though?
Yes. It's been in Hannaford.
So, yeah, the I would highly recommend it. I know my mom went there with Jill. I'm trying to look at the menu right now and see. Vindaloo is
your,
what I ordered.
Do you need your bifocals, or... You
it's,
like,
well, it's really fucking blurry. All right,
that's what I'm saying. Like, do you need your bifocals there, Grandpa?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the menu here.
Yeah, kids.
Sort of food.
So we had I had the vindaloo, which I don't even know what the hell that means, but it was between that and tiki masala.
You mean that was your choices?
Sri Lankan style curry.
Curry.
You know, there were some other things.
That's like the only Indian food word I know is curry. And I don't know what that is. I don't even know what it means. It's the only one I recognize as Indian is curry.
Everybody's kind of familiar with
curry
now. Yeah, it's it was really good. I will definitely go back. One thing that you will recognize as a food is he did a simple cheesecake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, so he does baked goods, too.
Well, just like a handful of desserts.
That's not like an Indian thing, cheesecake, is it?
It's not, but he kind of does his own little spin on it, and he made the best cheesecake I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yep.
Well, okay, I might try the cheesecake, because I mean, I know cheesecake.
It was really light and fluffy and creamy. It wasn't that like dense, heavy, hard, flaky stuff that's
Downey's
like
Downey's cheesecake.
The dry Downey's cheesecake.
Yeah, Downey's cheesecake, man. You could fucking, you could wrap it or tie somebody up and tie their feet around it and sink them in a lake, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, and you need to take a drink of water with each bite or you'll choke.
Oh, you're choking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This stuff was like just super light and creamy. And he did just a basic honey drizzle over the top, so it wasn't overly complicated. It was just really well executed.
Hmm. Well, I might try a little cheesecake. Is that something he just offers, or is it like when he feels good to do it, he'll do it?
I think it's regularly on the menu.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The other thing that you probably could get into and would have there is the naan, which is...
I'll have naan, thanks.
I'll have naan of that. naan is a type of bread that's like hand rolled out and, I don't know, friggin' wood fired or something. And it's like a flatbread.
Was he a wood stove out back?
Something. Well, I think he just does it in like an open fire oven.
Ah, that's called propane.
That shit's fucking good. We had some of the naan with like a dipping sauce, and that was delicious. So I bet you'd like that.
Was it like an appetizer type
deal? That was an appetizer, yeah. And then there was a shrimp appetizer that we had as well that was really good, but it did have like a green sauce, like one of those Indian sauces, whatever the hell is in them.
Dangerous. You're threatening dangerous territory.
I always swore that I would never try Indian food.
Really?
I gave it a shot. I figured this place looks really nice. And he did come out afterwards and check on us and make sure we liked it.
Everybody in there eating, sweating like a motherfucker. Just sweat just pouring right off of them as they're eating.
Oh, there's some sweaty white folk in there.
Yeah.
We were definitely the youngest ones in there.
Yeah.
Everyone was
60 plus. Did you have a sweater vest on?
60 plus. What was I wearing? No, I had a quarter zip pullover. With a button-up shirt underneath, so... Yeah. Yeah. But blue jeans, you know, to kind of dress it down a little bit.
With your boat shoes.
Yeah, actually, I was wearing my boat shoes.
Well, Well, that's good. So you fit in with all the douchebags. So I probably, like I said, I won't. No. I mean, it's taken me years to start eating at Finn's. And I'm slowly moving my way away from the one or two things that I will eat.
Right.
Trying, like, I've tried, like, try that. I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Right.
I'm not very adventurous.
You're not.
No.
Except in bed.
That's right. Except in bed. Exactly. And on that note, we are out of time this week.
We have come full circle.
We have.
Like a circle jerk.
So, we want to say thanks for listening, and probably won't have a podcast next week, so the week after, you'll be hearing us again.
Word.
All right. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, let people know. Spread the word. Don't forget to like our Facebook page. Check out our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter. If you have any questions or things you'd like to hear on the show, let us know by emailing us at twodowneastdudes@gmail.com. That's the number 2DowneastDudes@gmail.com. If you'd like to contribute to the show, please click on the Amazon banner,
which doesn't exist,
www.2downeastdudes.com. Again, that's the number 2downeastdudes.com. It doesn't cost any more, but we do get a small percentage of the purchase price.
Nope.
You can also feel free to donate to us directly via our PayPal link on the website.
That is true.
Come on, dude.
Revise the outro.